Our scripture lesson this morning is another one of Jesus' resurrection appearances. It is found in the 24th chapter of Luke and begins at verse 13. It's a familiar story, and I'm going to admit that sometimes these familiar stories cause us who bring messages about them to have to wrestle a lot more because we don't want to keep repeating just the same sermon over and over and over, and we're always looking for new ways to grow and new lessons to learn from these familiar stories. It begins, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?' And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?' And he said to him, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a mighty prophet in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some of the women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb. They found it just as exactly as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road? While he was explaining the scriptures to us?' And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen, and he has appeared to Simon.' They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread." May God bless this reading of his holy word. As I ponder this story of two walking on the road to Emmaus, I find I need to put myself in their shoes. It's Sunday. And I'm heading home after a head-spinning week of events. The one we thought was the anointed one, the Messiah, who rode into Jerusalem to the cheers of the people just last Sunday. We were sure it was going to happen, that Israel would be redeemed. But then everything got turned upside down. They arrested him and killed him. How could it have gone so bad, so fast? And then to add even more confusion to what seemed impossible, a bunch of women run in and tell us this morning that he is alive. How could this be? I guess he was just a prophet. And you know, we've got to figure out what all this means. Right now, I think it means we need to get out of town. They're probably going to go after anybody that was with him. The reality is that I don't know if I would have done any different. We see in the previous passages that Peter went to the tomb after the women came, and seeing the strips of linen lying empty, went away, it says, wondering to himself what had happened. Ultimately, like Thomas, who had not yet witnessed the risen Christ, they were confused. Things hadn't gone according to their hopes and plans, and nobody could make sense of the things that Jesus had told them. But like Thomas, they were about to be confronted with a reality that doesn't make any sense. They are about to come face to face with the resurrected Lord of life, and they will need to choose what to believe. You know, it's one thing to discover the truth about the resurrection, that it is real and that it proves the power and authority of Jesus Christ as God. It is yet another thing to fully accept it, not just in the head, not just as a reality of history, but as a transformational truth that we live out every day. You see, just like the two folks on the road to Emmaus, just like Peter, just like Thomas, who had to ponder and think and see, we need to move beyond just a knowledge of the truth to living out that truth. And we cannot begin to live out or even to live into that truth without owning it, without connecting ourselves to it. You know, Jesus used many words to show his desire to connect to us and his desire for us to connect to him. Now, these are words that we don't always use today, words like abide. You know, we don't throw that around a lot in our language. And he used images that we maybe in our city and suburban life don't connect to quite as easily either. But he used the images, branches connected to vines. He used language that we should live in him. That's what abide in him is all about. That we should live in him as he lives in the Father. and that when we do, He will live in us, just like the Father lives in Him. What Jesus is talking about here is relationship. Deep relationship, where we are so close that we always feel His presence, no matter where we are. You see, Jesus wants us to put this in our heart, right? Why? So that way we don't have to have these pages in a book when it's out of reach. They're there, and we can draw on the resources of our faith in God's Word, whether we have the paper and ink at hand or not. And Jesus says, if we're so closely connected to each other that we're like one, then whether or not you're in church on Sunday morning, I'm not trying to tell you you don't have to be in church on Sunday morning. What I'm saying is we can feel just as close to Jesus tomorrow on Monday when we're sitting at our desk at work, or when we're walking through the store, or when we're driving our car. How many of us wish we were more connected to Jesus while we were driving our cars, huh? You see, when we have that close of a relationship, then we not only have His peace and His presence, but we have Him there and His victory. We have His power right there with us all the time. That's what Jesus desires. And that's what our heart, even when we don't admit it, that's what our heart desires, is to have that kind of connection to Jesus. Jesus desires that we're so close, that we're always so close, that even when we're on our own road to Emmaus, when everything seems to be falling apart, that we will recognize Him when He comes to us as a stranger. That we are so close that even in those times when we feel like God is not there, we would not be fooled into believing that it's true. Because despite everything around us speaking to His death or to His absence, we know by the burning of our hearts that He is with us and we are with Him. Connecting to resurrected life is also the relationship of living into the life created for each of us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If all we ever see is the trouble around us, we are living more into the plan of the evil one that is designed to keep us down, and we are denying the victory that Jesus has already won. But living into the resurrection, connecting to the resurrection, means living into the promises that Jesus has for those who are in relationship with Him. Living into the victory that has already been won by His death and His resurrection. And so ultimately, folks, just like the two on the road to Emmaus, just like Thomas, just like Peter, just like the women at the tomb, we all have to make a choice. Whether to just tuck away the resurrection as something that we know about, or whether to connect to it in a way that it transforms our life. We have to choose. Do we let the lies of the deceiver rule our lives, or the victory of Jesus? You know, I look at how Jesus treated those who didn't believe that. Those that were with Him that didn't believe, and how He treats them. And it looks pretty harsh. He calls them fools. And yes, we could say that we aren't in his presence the same way, so we get a pass. I mean, they got to walk with him. They knew who he was. And so they're fools, but we're not if we do that. But you know, we also know the end of the story. And they didn't. We have the benefit of their struggle to learn from it. And we have the ultimate understanding that comes from it. So what will Jesus say to us if we refuse to accept the truth that he is alive? What will Jesus say to us if we refuse to offer his desire to be alive in us? So let me ask you, maybe those questions just pierced. What is burning in your heart right now? You're the only one that knows that. You and the Lord. If it's burning, it's not my words. It's Jesus' Spirit speaking to you. Listen to it. I urge you, listen to it. It doesn't matter what anyone else might say. Just listen to what he is speaking into your heart right now. And we're going to pray. And I'm going to give you some time in that prayer to just hear what he's burning in your heart right now. Lord, we come to you. Our hearts are burning like the two on the road to Emmaus because you are speaking to each one of us right now. And so, Lord, as we trust in you, help us to understand the burning in our hearts. And all of God's people said, Amen.